We're going to go ahead and roll right in. And Artis, you're going to start us off.
Okay. Well, welcome everyone to Advocacy 2. And our segment is called Make a Difference. And on my panel, besides myself, Artis Bazin, is going to be Alice Turner and Sarah Harris. And we're going to give you some examples of how you can make a difference. And this is going to be in your community, civically, etc., in a larger setting. Most people don't realize the difference that they make in the groups that they're involved in. And we hope these examples make you willing to get more involved and out there participating in groups and in the civic world. And first of all, I'm going to hand it over to Alice.
Okay, got it. Thanks, Artis. So the first circle that we're going to look at is just in our community. And when we think about, you know, as I was considering this for work in our community, sometimes it also has to do with our own journey, with our own vision loss, and how it is that we feel comfortable and how it is that we feel empowered, and really basically how the information that we have and the knowledge that we have helps. And so I'm going to just give you a couple of quick examples for myself. So the first example, and for the guide dog handlers that are out there, a lot of times one of the things that occurs for us is that we get to have interaction with puppy raisers. And so the puppy raisers, we already know that they're committed. We already know that they're very interested in the work of guide dogs. They don't always know what happens when the guide dog comes our way. And so when I was first paired with my guide dog, my very first guide dog, I sought out the local puppy raiser group, introduced myself, let them know that I would be happy to speak at any group. And that was going back in 2006. And I've been doing that ever since. And the interactions and the conversations and the relationships that we formed over this, you know, these past years or many years, has been really, really profound. And I have found that for me in speaking with the puppy raisers, initially I was getting accustomed to just being a handler myself. And then now it's really, I end up talking to them about advocacy, things that are important to all of us. Another quick example, store awareness. I was listening to the retail situations and it just, some of it, and I think when we hear examples from each other, it's really, really powerful because what happens is it triggers up different examples for us. So when I was living in Burlingame, I had a drugstore that was near me. And when I, again, was going in there first with my white cane and then eventually with my guide dog, I found that depending upon who it was that was working, we had different interactions. And, you know, I'm feeling, you know, super empowered, letting people know what it is that they can do, that my dog is there, that we can help. If I go up for a prescription and a friend happens to be with me and they start talking with my friend, you know, I would say, you know, I'm here for the prescription. So, and, you know, so many different examples that were occurring. And then at that point, it was also the time when it came to the ATMs, as far as, you know, being able to enter in your own PIN privately. And so I knew about that because of CCB and, you know, once again. And so there was a trend. I saw a trend going on. And this was a store that I went into pretty frequently. So I made an appointment with the manager and I said, I've had good interactions and I've had some that are not so good. So if you would ever like, you know, to have me speak with the group, I would love to do that because that will help me. That will help them. I'm an open book. You can ask questions. And I found not only that situation helpful for me, but it, you know, it certainly helped the retail folks. And I wasn't even doing this under the umbrella of CCB. I was just doing it saying, if I'm going to keep on going here, I want to be able to figure out how it is that I can interact with folks. And to do it where I'm not educating everyone when I need to catch a bus or catch a train. Let's see, another example. This has to be, again, with the circles. We all travel, right? Some of us get even, well, we haven't been traveling, but when we do get a chance to travel, Rob and I have had a chance to go on a cruise that's a music cruise. And we, maybe about three or four people we figured out were on that cruise were blind. We found that after the time for us to be there, that towards the end of the cruise, if we were sitting outside or if we were hanging out, someone came up to us and they would say, my husband is here and he's experiencing some changes in his vision. He's seeing you guys having so much fun. Can he come and talk to you? And so again, when we can't see folks, we have no idea about the impact. And we said, you know, as always, absolutely. Come have a drink. Let's talk. Let's chat. And I think it's, you know, it's in that community and in those interactions that we get to really bring ourselves. This one I'm going to say very quickly because my condo board was not so easy, but it's a good one to be a part of. So I heard a lot of information earlier when it came to people with renters. So if you have an opportunity to even go to condo board meetings, sit, listen, explain, talk, because at that point, people will get to know you. And then if you need to advocate, as I needed to advocate with my guide dog, you can do that in a situation where you know the people that are around that table. And then service orgs. So there's other service, the service orgs, or I'm sorry, I say orgs, but organizations that are out there. There's Lions, there's Rotaries, there's all sorts. And you may be comfortable, you may not be comfortable, but shop around, you know, show up and see. And again, many of these service orgs are committed to shared missions for CCB. But that doesn't mean that every single person that's there understands what it's like as far as a person who's blind or someone that is working in with a guide dog. So again, just having that opportunity to have those conversations one-on-one, and then when you need to have a conversation in a bigger group, you feel more comfortable. So I'm going to bring it over to Artis now. Back to you, kiddo.
Thank you. I've been involved with churches all of my life, and I've always found out that I have to step forward and say I'm interested in a particular program, because most people in the sighted world just assume that you wouldn't be interested in participating much. Our current church has a program called the Kirby Ministry. What it is a few of us ladies go to a prison in over by East Los Angeles, and it's called the Kirby Foundation. And what they do is it's a county prison. It's a lockdown facility. It's for girls from 12 to 19, and they are in there for about a year max, and then either sent out to the community or sent back if they're not ready. One of the things I found out when I first participated, I just attended, went along with a couple other ladies. And then the program needed to have a leader and nobody was stepping up, so I volunteered. And they let me do it since I had been to a few of the functions in the past. Well, I didn't really know if I was making a difference or not. All we did was play games with the girls and share crafts with them and bring snacks and just talk to them once a month. And then one time I told my story, because one of the things a lot of these girls don't have is hope. They come from sad backgrounds. Their parents are in prison. or can be on the streets. They have bad relationships with gangs, and that's how they get into the trouble they're in. And I told my story of losing my sight and my steps forward once I lost my sight. And afterwards, a couple of the girls told me it changed their lives. The one gal had tried to commit suicide a couple of times, and she just was going to give up. And after she heard me tell my story, she said now she knew that she could do it, and now she was planning to become a nurse and maybe a doctor in the future. In my church, I also have participated in the session, which is the leading group in the church. It makes decisions for the church, etc. And when I was first asked to be part of this session, I learned that they were sent lots of documents each month that we had to read through. And at first, a lot of times, they would scan the documents and send them to me in Word, but I couldn't read them because they were scanned. And after bringing it to their attention several times, they did get a program where they could OCR them so then I could read them. And I really expressed my happiness that they were able to do that, because that way I could participate better because I knew exactly what was happening in the church and what changes needed to be made for the future. Another example I'm going to talk about is business associations and organizations. I have my own business and have had for many years. And when I moved to Burbank, I went to the Burbank Chamber of Commerce and met many people there. And they talked me into joining a group called Burbank Business Network International. And it is, you do pay dues to participate. And in the beginning, they never asked me to do anything. They had several committees to make sure it moved forward, because the main purpose of the organization is to refer business to one another. And I found out that at first I wasn't getting referrals. And I think because of my blindness, they didn't know if I could actually do the job. So I offered free services to some of the businesses. And then they could tell that I knew what I was doing and I could make a difference in their business, helping it move forward. I also volunteered to be on their membership committee and make calls to look, check on references for new businesses coming into the organization. Then they asked me to be education person, where you give 2 or 3 minutes of tips for business owners each week. And then I was vice president for a few years. And I think by my stepping up and volunteering to assist in any way I could, they decided that actually I could do the job. And it's been a more challenge more recently because they've gone to doing everything online to submit your referrals because we're not meeting in person currently. And that has been a challenge because their website is not fully accessible. So I've had to advocate on my behalf to get the website accessible. And they've made some changes, but it's still not fully accessible. I also was invited to attend American Business Women's Association, and I joined that a number of years ago. And currently, I'm the president of our local chapter, primarily because not too many people wanted to step up, and I volunteered. And many times that's the way we get into organizations and can make a difference, is by volunteering to assist. In a lot of organizations in our community, people don't step up. So even if you're blind, they're willing to see if it's going to work. And by your commitment and doing the best you can show them that you can make a difference and you can help them to move forward too. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Sarah now.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Artis. So the first example that I'm going to talk about is, you know, for many of you may or may not know, I have a 17-year-old daughter. When she started school, it's a little intimidating, you know, walking into the school. I could hear parents, teachers, everybody kind of whisper and question, like, how in the world could I have a kid? Well, you know, I had a kid the same way everybody else does. But the biggest piece was really talking with teachers and letting them know, you know, what I needed from them. You know, every kid brings home a bunch of papers in the backpack. Well, when my kid was in kindergarten, she could kind of sort of read, but she couldn't read everything to me. And so I worked out a deal with the teachers to make sure that, you know, I was able to, you know, hear the important information from them. They would take the time and give me a call. But that was only because, again, I would go in and ask about it. When it came time for field trips, I really, really wanted to chaperone. You know, growing up as a kid, you know, my parents didn't really do a lot of that. And I wanted so badly to be that kind of parent. And so when it came time to sign up, the teachers were a little iffy about it. They would partner me with another parent, which sometimes was fine. But then as they came to learn, I was the parent that never lost a kid. And so I was asked to chaperone all the way through elementary school because, you know, I always talked to the kids that were with me and made sure that they were all accounted for. We had a system and it worked well. And so I'm glad and proud to say that I do have that track record of never losing a kid. But again, it was all about just taking that time to talk with, you know, teachers, talk with the principal, you know, other staff within the school, other parents, and, you know, really, you know, say, hey, you know, I would like to help and here's how I can. And, you know, then they were able to recognize that because, again, as we've talked about before, sometimes people just don't know unless you tell them. The next thing that I'm going to talk about is a group called Project Athena Foundation. And some of you know, I've done a few adventures with them. I was part of a 2017 marathon, walking marathon through San Diego. I had never done anything at all athletic in my life, much less walk 26-ish miles. And with a group of, you know, strangers and my 13-year-old daughter, nonetheless. And so through talking with them and working through, you lead me, don't drag me, all the same typical things, talking about how they could describe what was around us to me, they really got intrigued and really became really excited about being able to show me the world. And so it became just this really great collaboration. They asked me to become an ambassador for them and to, you know, reach out to other people to be a part of this amazing group that take people who have had different things in their life happen, whether it be, you know, a traumatic accident like myself, or people who have had medical setbacks, other emotional setbacks in their life, and really kind of get their groove back. I was able to convince two of my friends, Jamie and Chenier, to join us in 2018 to do the same thing there in San Diego, which was fantastic because then they were able to kind of add the layers of how, you know, they could be supported as well. The following year, we had another one of our members from the Fresno chapter go on the same San Diego journey. And his name was Jonathan. And Jonathan, again, same thing. We all have need different support. We all have different ways of doing things. So they added in that extra layer. By the end of 2019, they had become just the whole group of Project Athena folks had become so intrigued and so used to having us along that, you know, I like to say they became our pro allies in the sense of they would jump in and teach, you know, other people who were on the adventures with us of how we could be best supported. Well, at the end of 2019, Chenier and I went on a 120-mile biking and kayaking trek from Key Largo to Key West in Florida. And it was exciting because they weren't afraid of, you know, us jumping on the back of a tandem bike or, you know, being in a kayak, all those different things. So it was just so nice to see that relationship grow. And the last one that I want to talk about, and a lot of us have faced this one is, you know, when I am out in the community and I'm at a new meeting, so my day job, I'm a program manager for Center for Independent Living here in the Central Valley. And, you know, I go into a lot of meetings and sometimes it's a new place and I'll have folks, you know, come up to me and go, oh, can I help you? Are you lost? And, you know, that gives me the opportunity to say, no, I'm lost. I'm not lost. I'm here to, you know, be part of this meeting. Sometimes I hand them a business card and I really just, you know, make sure to, you know, take the time to, you know, talk to those who are sitting around me. If there's lunch being served, you know, I do ask for help. I don't sit there in the corner starving because people want to help. They just sometimes don't know how. And so that's really what I do. So now we want to invite one or two folks, depending on how long we have here, to maybe talk about some of their experiences in their own circles and maybe something different than what Alice, Artis, and I have talked about. So, Greg, do we have any hands?
No, but not right now. But if you'd like to raise your hand, it is Alt-Y on the PC, Options-Y on the Mac. *9 on the phone, and on the app, it's on the lower left-hand corner. And actually, we do have one raised hand. 510 ending in 116. You can go ahead. I've allowed you to talk. You can go ahead and unmute.
Hello, everyone. This is Warren Cushman, and I would like to agree with the panelists about being out in the community and and representing oneself in the community. I have done that for quite a while. When I lived in Sacramento, I served on an environmental council of Sacramento board. I was an active member of my church. I was also in the California Democratic Party for a while, and I really got a taste of working in the community and really working outside the field of blindness or disability-related advocacy. And I really found that to be helpful and supportive in the sense that I got a chance to educate others and relate to others and teach others about what it means to be blind. And so I found that very supportive and very helpful, and I want to endorse that idea. Now that I live in the Bay Area, I'm now living in the Bay Area, I have found a totally new area of advocacy, mental health, and I'm doing the same thing in that arena, educating folks and working with folks who have mental illness. And, you know, I find that whole opportunity to be very supportive, and I would encourage everyone to find a field of interest and not just work with blind folks, but work with other folks as well, and cross-disability folks, but also just whether it be a church or, you know, some sort of organization like the Lions Club or any interest that you may have. If you're a gamer, whatever you want to do, just get out there and interact and hang out and educate and advocate. I think that is it helps both the person that you're working with, and it also helps you as an individual grow. Thank you.
Thank you, Warren, and I'm sure all of that's very rewarding, and that's some good advice. Thank you. And Greg, I think we could take one more.
Okay, we do have Charlene. So Charlene, you should be able to unmute at this time. So Charlene, you can go ahead.
Okay, I'm unmuted. One of the things that I find is that a lot of people just don't know how to work with somebody who's blind. But I've been on several committees, have done some things like with transportation. Part of it being accessibility. I, for instance, when San Diego bought new trolleys, we went to Siemens where they're put together. We saw some trolleys, cars, and they had a couple bars at both ends of the car for upward, you know, stanchions for people to hang on to. Unfortunately, one was right in front of the doors for people that had the plate that comes out, so people who use cannot use a step up can get into the vehicle. And I told them we needed to take that out, and they started giving me a bunch of why they can't do it. And I just looked at them and I said, well, who's paying for it? They said, we are. And I said, tell them unless they make that change, we won't buy their cars. What I've accomplished is a lot of times I have people thinking in the engineering and stuff like that with SANDAG and some with the city of San Diego of accessibility before they get to that final point of getting things done. They're starting to look at it, and a lot of people just don't understand it, that they don't know. And it's like curb cuts. They don't understand the parts of a pedestrian curb cut or ramp, because part of it is to help a blind person tell where, you know, where there is a ramp there. That's why there's the flare on the sides, is we can pick that up. That's why there's grooves at the top of the ramp. And now it even helps to have the truncated domes in the ramp, because people who are partial can now see that there is a ramp there. So one of the things is not to be afraid to speak up. And sometimes that can have everlasting effects. And you don't know when you do speak up what long-term help that's going to end up being. One of the things you do have to do, though, is when you're telling about the accessibility and the parts to it, you need to make sure you're not doing it from the seat of your pants, that you're actually following the ADA regulations. You can't just decide to go, one of my big things that I've done, I think that's the one I'm most proud of, is I've been the ADA coordinator for the San Diego Fair, and I've actually written a lot of policies for the fairgrounds, one of which is to allow people with disabilities to be on rides. And that was a big one, because when I first started, people, if you had a disability, you were automatically not permitted to be on any rides. And there's no reason for that. So anyway, those are some of the things I've done. But a lot of times when you step forward, you're actually making long-term changes.
That's so true, Charlene. And thank you very much. And I think the other thing is, you know, you never know who's listening, right? Who's listening when you're talking. And, you know, a lot of what you just said is makes a lot of sense to roll right into our next segment, which is about civic responsibility and civic duty. You know, we can really make a difference on our local, state, and even national levels through, you know, civic duty, which are, you know, things like jury duty, and then civic responsibility, which is, you know, following laws, voting, other things like that. And so we're going to talk, the three of us are going to talk about some examples, and I'm going to go a little off script for one second here, because one thing that, you know, I just said was jury duty. And, you know, I'm the girl that I wanted to be on a jury so badly, because I wanted to prove that I could do it. And a couple of years ago, I had jury duty and I made it all the way in the box, and then I got dismissed. But the judge was very interested on, you know, well, if there was certain kind of evidence, you know, how could we relay that to you? And he did really care. He really wanted to, know, you know, how they could support me if I was chosen to be on that jury. You know, the defense lawyer, he actually was the one that told me, you know, excused me. And I think it's because, you know, kept making the joke about, you know, and if you don't like my tie, that's not a good reason for me to excuse you. So when I got up there, I did joke and say I didn't like his tie. I couldn't help myself. But that's just me. You guys know me. Another one that I want to talk about is we have a Disability Advisory Commission here in the city of Fresno. And along with that, one of their subcommittees is the Transportation Subcommittee. I became very passionate about our local transportation early on when I started getting out and about and around, because we all know that, you know, there's a lot of issues within transportation. And so I was able to get on that subcommittee back in, I believe it was August of 2016. And through that committee, we've been able to, you know, really make a lot of change and give a lot of consults on, you know, different things like paths of travel, some of the bus stops, making sure that they're accessible and that they work well for everybody. We have some ticket vending machines that they learned very quickly on that they should not have rolled out before they asked us to check them out because there were some issues. And I think that our local city is regretting that one a little bit. But we've also been able to, through being a part of this committee, we were later asked when it came up that the paratransit contract was up here in the city of Fresno. Myself and my best friend, Shanir, who's the paratransit specialist here, we were asked to serve on that committee that got to choose our next paratransit contractor. And so that was really amazing because we were able to, as being part of that committee and talking with our local folks, give them the certainty that we could really help with those kind of decisions and give very informed opinions, not just emotional opinions, because that's a whole lot different. The other one is I serve on the Blind Advisory Committee for the state of California as a representative of CCB along with Mitch Pomerantz. I was just appointed back in November of 2020. And that has been very, very amazing because it's something that I really every time the application would come out, I kind of thought, hey, I want to do that. But I was a little intimidated, a little bit scared. And then this last time it came out, I reached out to Mitch. I was like, hey, I give me more information. What's the commitment like? Because it is a 4-year commitment. But it's definitely something that's doable. I do encourage all of you to, you know, come to those meetings and give input and be a part of the conversation because it's very, very important to be there. What's really nice is that we have a good group, a good balance of folks that are able to be a part of different task forces as well. We currently have a working committee that's working with the state prison system to talk about how they can better support and rehabilitate prisoners who are blind or have low vision. That's been very interesting and very rewarding as well. So I'm going to go ahead and hand it back over to Artis so she can tell you about some of the things that she's done. All right, Artis, you're up.
Thank you, Sarah. One of the things about being involved in like the Burbank Chamber, people in the community got to know me. And one of the first things I was invited to participate in was the Burbank ADA committee. And while serving on that committee, I have the ability to tell the city of Burbank such things as where pedestrian signals should be, et cetera. Although I haven't had, we haven't had too many placed in Burbank yet, but it looks like it's becoming more promising now. But I've participated on and off for a number of years, and it's a worthwhile thing to do because you hear all of the possible changes that you could be made because of what you give them. And they look at all kinds of things, opening streets up for pedestrian walks, et cetera. And then you can make a difference and say how that would affect people with blindness. Another thing I got involved in many, many years ago was the Los Angeles County Voters with Special Needs Committee. And I've been on that committee since 2001. And there I can, you know, give them feedback on what helps blind people to vote and how to do outreach to reach out to blind people. And while I was on that, I was invited to participate in the original planning of the Help America Vote Act. The state Secretary of State asked me to be on that committee. And when that law was originally passed, each state had to set a plan. And I was one of the participants that went around to different parts of the states where they had hearings, and we listened to the public on how they wanted accessible voting. And that was quite a time commitment originally because of all the hearings and things that had to be done in order to make the state plan. After that, I just participated in meetings at the state voters with accessibility level, where they made decisions on which counties should get grants for accessibility, what kind of grants should be available. And they also got into how to outreach to people, how to send out surveys to people, make sure they're accessible, et cetera. And I was on that committee until 2018. So right now there's no blind person on that committee. I also was invited to fill out an application for the State Independent Living Council. And I did get accepted and was appointed by Governor Brown to serve on that in 2013. And I served on that until last fall. You can serve a maximum of 6 years. And there I was able to give input to the assisted living groups, because a lot of times the different independent living councils don't always look at the needs of blind people. They look a lot at people with wheelchairs, and they look a lot at people with developmental issues. But a lot of times they figure, oh, the rehab department will take care of blind people. So they don't look at that aspect. And by serving in that role, I could let them know that, hey, this is what blind people need. Don't always just think about the other people with disabilities, but there are people that also have multi-disabilities. They might have blindness along with one of the other disabilities. And by my being on that committee or council, I could give feedback and help them to know what ways that they could serve blind people better. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Alice.
Okay, great. Thanks, Artis. So what we want to do is have you start to think for a moment. So that's my little cue to think that we're going to be inviting some folks. So the phrase that we're putting into place here is show up, listen, and step up. And what we mean by that is that we've heard stories from our wonderful folks that volunteered earlier. Sometimes it's showing up. Sometimes it's needing to do your homework. Sometimes it's bringing your own chair to a meeting. Sometimes it's introducing yourself and handing a card. There's so many different ways, and every person is different, and every person has a right to do it in their own way. So what we'd like to do at this point, Greg, is invite, let's start off with one person. And I would love to hear from someone that we haven't heard from yet. So just one person, when it comes to all of the things that we've talked about, specifically, and let's look at civic right now. So committees, task groups, things going on in your community where you're working together to achieve a goal. What's something that you want to know about, or what's something that you've done?
Okay, and we have Sheila unmuted. So, Sheila, you can go ahead.
Actually, I'm Natalie, actually.
Natalie. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I came in a little late because I had a couple of things going. I think the conference is very interesting. I hope I'm not getting a little ahead of the game if I mention it. One thing that hasn't been mentioned. I do vote. Yes, I do, but I'm happier voting like with the absentees instead of like trying to navigate polls and stuff. And I don't think I would like to like do any jury duty. I just think the transportation in navigating would be just too difficult, I think, for me, for timing. Like, if I had the time to transit for that, I don't think that would work too well, and I just don't think that would be a good idea, at least for me.
Sure.
Somebody else? Yes. I'm enjoying the conference. Hope everyone's doing good out there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go, Margie. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, ladies, thank you for such a wonderful presentation. And thank you, Steve, and your group for your wonderful presentation. I want to talk about civic activities here. Yesterday, I attended a meeting that caught me totally off guard. So just to make a long story very quick, here in the town of Folsom, we have had our own paratransit-type services. Two years ago, Regional Transit took over our town, and I knew eventually that they were going to try to roll us up into the Regional Transit paratransit system. That's what the meeting was about yesterday. And I'm very concerned and upset, so I've written to our city council member that serves on the RT board. I'm going to speak with Jeff and Jean, who sits on their Disability Advisory Committee. This is a horrible time for this to happen because we only had two riders show up. Most of our riders are seniors, and there's no way to get a hold of our riders to show up and be advocates. And this is going to be horrible for the Folsom residents. So I will be at City Council on Tuesday, and I've gone to City Council before with other transit issues and other issues around the city. And just one other quick story I'm going to tell. We had a sidewalk vendor here in Folsom recently selling produce. This has gone on for a couple months, blocking the entire sidewalk. Each time I had to call the cops. And long story made short, I got our code enforcement department involved. I got our ADA coordinator involved. And I would contact both of them every time this vendor would block my way, and they told me to call the police on the weekends. Well, a month ago, a new city ordinance was proposed at City Council. This past Tuesday, it was passed, and in 30 days, it goes into effect. And basically, you can't be a sidewalk vendor in Folsom. For those entities such as Girl and Boy Scouts, you can, but you have to leave 5 feet of sidewalk clearance.
I'm not sure what happened.
Okay. I think it's actually good timing because I think you were trying to get Sheila. We may have another time. I mean, excuse me. We may have time for a 1 or 2 minute example.
Okay.
And if Sheila's not available, I would love to hear to folks that would like to ask a question.
Yes,
Sheila, you should be able to unmute now.
I think I got it. Did I?
Okay. Yes, yep. You are, Sheila.
Yep.
All right. So the first thing I want to say is that not every person in the cross disability community is Ed Roberts. I'm not. I spend a lot of time in the cross disability community. One of the things that I have worked very hard on in Alameda County is, as people might have seen, there was an article that went round from the Kaiser Foundation that showed that all around the country, I call them COVAX sites, the COVID vaccination signup sites were not accessible, and Alameda was one of them. And since January 15th, I have been fighting, and it worked finally, to make ours accessible. And of all things, Brian Bashan lives in Berkeley. And so I didn't even know that until this article came out. But I have been fighting to make the website accessible and widen the aisle, as it were, for folks with disabilities to get what they need. And I've been fighting for in-home testing, in-home vaccination, And it's not necessarily to do with just blindness. It's a lot of things. But the one disappointment I have, two of them, one is they'll let us volunteer as long as we like, but we don't ever seem to get further. And the other one is, when does the education end? Mm-hmm. When after 31 years, actually it's more like 47, do we get accessibility like to websites and things? And I say 47 years because it goes back to 504 in 1973. So in the department, in the Rehabilitation Act. So I'd like to see some serious forward movement without having to one to one.
Thanks, Sheila. You know, that's a good provocative thought, and it's something I think for all of us to keep in mind, difference between education, advocacy, and legislation. So I'm going to turn it over to Artis. Artis, back to you.
Okay. We want to give you some tips to help you to want to get more involved. One of the things I want to mention is if you have a passion or an interest in a particular topic, find someone who has previously been involved in that particular organization, whether it's council, it's ADA committee, whether it's a voting committee, whether it's transportation, etc. Reach out to that person for support for you getting more involved. You can also apply for positions. Right now, there's not a blind representative on the State Independent Living Council. After I finished my term, I tried to talk to a few blind people, and I've put a request on the CCB list a couple of times in the past for people to put in applications. And I'll do that again as a reminder. If you think you might be at all interested, please let me know and I can give you the ins and outs and the positives and in the commitment time, etc. And I'd be glad to share that with you, as well as where you can find a link to apply. You do have to apply to the state because it is a governor-appointed position. And so they do look at your resume, background, etc. And it's not too difficult to fill in. So I'd really like to encourage you to do that. We also have no position currently on the State Accessibility for Voters Committee. And that's another position we should try to be able to apply. Right now, I don't believe it's application season, but I would inquire and ask when applications would be available next. Okay, Sarah, you're up.
All right. Thank you, Artis. Those are all really good points. So the next thing that I'm going to talk about is surveys. And, you know, I'm not talking about Family Feud. Survey says, but I'm talking about a lot of these surveys that have been circling around. You know, we see them in our inbox all the time. Sometimes we get phone calls. And, you know, these are surveys about transportation, about accessibility to, you know, technology and websites. It could be, you know, something in the medical arena, lots of things that, you know, we could really give our input in. And surveys are becoming a big part of advocacy. So I do urge and encourage you to fill those out when you get them. That adds in the extra layer. Sometimes we encounter some of these surveys that are not accessible. I do suggest for you to reach out to whoever has put the survey out and give them solutions. Don't just go and yell and say, this survey didn't work with my screen reader. Give them solutions of some of the platforms that they can use to build their survey on that could work best for people who are blind or have low vision with a screen reader. I've encountered that here with our local Council of Governments, which has been really interesting. You know, I always want to give input on, you know, the unmet needs of transportation, you know, the thing that you fill out every year and, you know, you wait to see if something happens with it. So really, really do take that extra couple minutes. And some of these surveys, they, you know, they enter you for a prize, I mean, which is really cool too. So there's a win-win there. And I'm going to go ahead and hand it right back to you, Alice.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks, Sarah. So we're coming into the home stretch, folks. So what I'd like you to do is, as you're going to listen to some tips that the three of us have gathered, just some qualities, some things to keep in mind as you go through and listen to this list, go through your own checklist in your mind. What are the things that you're really, really strong? You know, what's strength for you? And what's something that you want to develop? And when it comes to developing, reach out. And if you see this quality in someone, just say, hey, you know, I would love to talk to you about such and such. So the first thing on our list is resilience. And resilience, we talked about this as not taking anything personally. Big message there. Not so easy to do all the time. You know, I'm sure that you've heard adversity builds resilience and resilience gives you strength and strength keeps you going. So that's our first. Okay, on to the next.
Perseverance. You need to keep at it. You can't expect people to understand right away. You have to take the time to educate people on how a change would be good for people who are blind or visually impaired. In order for them to understand the difference it can make, it takes time, perseverance.
All right, next up we have respect. I mentioned it earlier, you know, don't go in, you know, yelling and screaming. Sometimes if you do that, that'll just scare people off or make them, you know, turn their cheek to you and just go, oh, you're just complaining. If you're respectful and when you're educating folks and advocating, it's really going to, you know, help to get them to listen to what you have to say. Alice.
All right. Collaborative style. I heard lots of examples about work, and this is a really big quality when it comes to working and many different things. But look for shared interest, shared goals, and collaborate and come to a conclusion based on that collaboration. And let's see who we have next. Artists.
Okay. Follow up and follow through, because one time stating something isn't going to help. You have to follow through with your requests on getting assistance you need. You have to follow up when you say you're going to do something and keep yourself in the loop on everything that comes up so you know what's happening next and what you should do.
All right. Next up, find champions. Find others who will help you to advocate. And, you know, I have to say, I have a couple of coworkers that a lot of times they'll speak up for me before I can even speak up to say, hey, do you have that in an accessible format? Or, hey, can you describe that? You know, when you find people, you know, in your circles and in your community that, you know, will take the time to speak up for you, even when you're not around, oh my gosh, that makes things huge. All right, Alice?
Yeah, absolutely. So pick your passion. One of the things that happens, I think, when we start to get really involved is we want to do everything because it gets very rewarding. Find the thing that's important to you. Really get successful at that. That will avoid burnout as well. And artists, back to you.
Okay. Everyone can make a difference in your way and your own timeline. Go for it. Thanks.
Okay. I'm not listening to time. How are we doing for anyone that has
We have about 5 more minutes. So if we wanted to take a couple more examples from the audience, I think we could.
Yeah, examples, questions, and again, love to hear from people that we haven't heard from yet.
Okay. We have a 626 number. Ending in 548, you can go ahead and press *6 to unmute. 626.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Pam Pology, the president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter.
Hi, Pam.
And Hi, all you guys. Thank you for having all of us and for putting on such a wonderful, all these presentations. What I have experienced in the past is I was nominated at my church to serve on the parish council and was elected there. And then a couple of years ago, I decided to apply to the city. They were forming a group to for a five-year plan to enhance the lives of seniors and disabled. So I went to City Hall, and a friend of mine helped me to fill out the application. And there were 45 applicants. 15 were chosen, of which I was one. And there were no other disabled persons on that committee. But I found that when we had our small groups, that everyone was fighting to have me in their group because they wanted to have a perspective of a disabled person and what challenges that we go through and what successes that we've been able to obtain. So I think even when we feel intimidated and we don't feel, because self-confidence is not my forte. So if I listen to myself, I wouldn't do these things. But I know that in for others, and also when I was in the hospital with undergoing surgery, I was going to be in a study for the cancer surgery, and they were not going to let me be in the study because I couldn't read my own material and it wasn't in accessible format. So anyway, I got the legal department of City of Hope involved, and I wasn't able to be in the study. However, there's an amendment now that has been passed. It's called the Pamela Amendment, so that if anyone else undergoes surgery and has that study and is reading impaired, they can have it in either accessible format or be allowed to have an advocate read to them, and they will be accepted into the study so that they will be able to follow their blood work and have cost-free treatment and so forth. So even though we always don't feel qualified, we just need to not listen to ourselves and think of what's best for everybody else. Thank you so very much for having me.
Pam, that's great. That just sums up so much of the information that we've talked about. So, Sarah, before I put it back to you, I'm just going to say one more thing. This virtual world is wonderful, but it also has its challenges, right? Zooming, muting, unmuting. Just know that this is a welcoming place, and we're here. So just picture yourself, if you've been at a convention, to be around a table with your buddies and your friends, and feel free to jump in and talk and share, because that's presentations are great, but how we hear from each other is as important as well. So Artis or Sarah, anything else you want to say to wrap us up?
I just want to encourage everyone to look around you and the opportunities that you have to get involved. And don't hesitate to ask one of us or someone else you know that has served on boards to find out the ropes so that you don't feel so intimidated.
Great point.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much. And I want to thank Alice and Artis for saying yes when I reached out and said, hey, we should do this thing. Because I think it's been a lot of fun, and I hope that everybody's got a lot out of it and has become more motivated to do even more, or didn't, you know, maybe you're realizing you do more than you thought, and that's really what we were hoping to be an outcome for this.